Hello, and welcome back to Networking Unleashed, Building Profitable Connections. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm your host, Michael Foreman, and you're listening to the podcast where networking is more than just awkward handshakes and bad coffee. It's an art and a talent. But here's the twist: it's an art and talent you can actually learn. Yes, even if you're the person hiding in the corner at every event pretending to check emails. Networking isn't just a nice skill to have, it's a game changer. When you get good at it, you'll wonder why you didn't start sooner. More connections, more opportunities, more profits. It's like unlocking a cheat code for life. So whether you're the life of the party or the just let me stay at home and text type, we've got something for you. So stick around. And let's turn those awkward small talk moments into big wins. I have a guest today who is so experienced in networking that I don't think that our podcast will have enough time to rein him in. I'd like to introduce Vince Quinn. And Vince is the co-founder and creative director of SBX Productions, where he helps businesses launch and improve their podcasts. Without me butchering it anymore, I'm going to introduce Vince and let him tell you a little bit about his background. Vince, how are you?
I'm great. And hearing your intro talking about bad coffee and awkward handshakes and people in the corner and all that, it just hits me so hard. So I love all of that. I think it's so spot on of the experience. So great work by you. But yeah, a little background on me. So kind of a fascinating journey. I started my career in sports talk radio. I did sports talk radio for 10 years in Philly. I'm a Philly kid. Everybody in Philly is an animal as a sports fan. I think that's well publicized. I was one of those animals. I was a leader of the animals in a sense. So I was doing all of that for a while, saw where the radio industry was going, decided, let me get into podcasting. And I've been able to transition all of that experience of producing and hosting and everything else in that space and now bring it to businesses. So yeah, helping them with their processes. So everything with the production of who's doing what and what equipment do we need and how is this getting on socials? And really beyond that, coming up with the strategy is the most important thing. And I think people get so caught up in the production side that they lose sight of what do you actually want to do with this? How are you maxing out the potential of it? And one of those big things, and obviously like fully related to what we're talking about here, is guests. Like thinking about the guests that you want to bring on shows, getting yourself featured on other shows, thinking about that in a very strategic way and developing good processes there. There's so much to get into with all of that stuff. And that's what's so fun about it for me on a personal level. As you can tell, I love to talk. So being a chatty guy, like having the opportunity to meet so many interesting people and help them connect in their own way through a show is just so much fun. That's what I do.
That's great. And you mentioned how you transitioned from radio to podcasting. So give me a little bit more of how you transitioned helping businesses with their podcasts.
Yeah, so first it was two leaps. The first leap was realizing that radio is just a bad future for me as a guy of this age with the state of the industry and having to get out of there and making the transition into podcasting as my full-on professional commitment. And that was a big jump. I was a nationally syndicated host at 30 years old. That was huge. And I had people telling me, don't do it, don't leave. But I saw where the future was of podcasting and where it was going for radio, and I made the jump. So that was the first step. And then the second step was really when I first made that leap into podcasting, we were talking with a lot of entertainment shows. It was a lot of people who thought, I'm going to be the next big sports show and I'm going to be Joe Rogan and all that kind of stuff, which like it did not happen. But working with all those people, I learned one, I had to be a business owner and develop that mentality of, okay, here's all the different things that go into making an effective business for myself. And then being able to then apply it to the business mindset and start upgrading my clientele to where I was working with business owners, established entrepreneurs. I'm working with some organizations now, larger organizations. So doing that kind of thing has been so refreshing because I can relate to them as a business owner and know what their marketing issues are and be able to apply all of that stuff over. So it took me a while to figure everything out and bring it all together. But now that it's here, it's one of those things where I look back and go, oh, this makes all the sense in the world. Like it's, yeah, of course I'm doing this.
It's perfect. It makes perfect sense. Okay, so how do you help clients define a clear purpose for their podcast?
Yeah. So the question is, you're starting a podcast. What do you want to get out of it? And I think it's got to be a selfish answer, really. Sometimes people hem and haw of what their reason is. But if I'm helping you build the show, you need to be honest about it. When I was working with entertainment shows, people had a hard time saying that my goal is that I want to be famous. And it's, if you want to be famous, that's a very specific route that you want to go, and your whole approach and energy and the kinds of content you produce, that's a very specific lane. From a business side, a lot of the times people are looking for more sales, right? That's ultimately what they want to get. Or they're just looking to generate awareness. The process is good, but people just don't know that they exist. So they need to get the word out more. So no problem. Let's do that. But I think a lot of times it's complicated because podcasting is an industry that does not have good precedent for a business owner. Like, the common blueprint is not an easy thing to follow, because what we all know is entertainment shows, right? But so you don't think about these business podcasts that might have only 500 downloads, but you know what? They're killing it, because the people that listen are buyers, and you are getting constant sales from that audience, repeat sales, whatever. Like, you're building super fans. So there's a lot of value in that, but people don't know. So initially, when they come in, it's complicated, because the intent is, to some degree, like sales, what I typically hear up front is, I want to make more money, and I'm doing the podcast because I want to monetize the podcast. But monetizing, a lot of times, to people means sponsorships. But nobody's sponsoring your business podcast, odds are, unless you have good connections and things, like when you're just getting started. It's your marketing for your business. So sponsor yourself and figure out what that strategy is to amplify the services, the products that you have, and connect those things and constantly talk about subject matter in that space. So that's really the biggest thing that I'm doing in terms of purpose, is finding out what that actual deep down business goal is, and then making sure everything we do around the show is aligned in a way that's helping them actually commit to that goal. That's number one for me.
That's great, because really, when somebody gets into podcasts, from what I found, it's one of two reasons. One, just because they enjoy it, they enjoy talking to people. But the other one is monetizing it. And they're looking as an extra stream of money coming in. And you really hit monetizing on the head. Okay. But do you have, give me just one, two, or three effective ways that a podcaster, one who is really not just starting out, but has been around for a while, what is an effective way for him to monetize?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, I treat it two different ways. One of them is, if you're getting potential clients that make sense for you, being able to source those people, build relationships, and not necessarily directly sell, but build a good relationship, establish yourself as a professional, and get into their networks, right? That's the value of it. If you're able to flip somebody that you talk to during the conversation into a client, all the better. But for me, for example, like, I started my own show for the business, total proof of concept of everything that we do. And it's very matter of fact, right? I'm a business owner that makes a podcast about business owners who have podcasts. So my guests are business owners who have podcasts. And then I invite them onto the show and we talk about it. Hey, you started the business. Why did you start the podcast? How do those things tie together for you? So for me, I'm talking with all these kinds of entrepreneurs that I want to speak with. They're people that I'm building good relationships with. Sometimes I end those conversations and they say, I'm actually looking for help. And that's a great win for me. And other times I'm just following up, making a good connection on LinkedIn, trying to stay in touch and hope that down the line, it leads to a good referral because I'm an actually engaged person in their network. So from a relationship building standpoint, if you want to get those clients and get in front of people, like, that's one way to do it. Invite those people onto the show, or use your show as a means to go out and get on other shows. And then beyond that, the other strategy is strategic partners and highlighting what you do and who does it for you, especially if you're a business that has multiple employees. One of the things that you can do is get certain people, like, I'm working with a real estate agency. And if you've got an agent that, okay, they're in the industrial space within your firm, great, bring them on, talk about what they're seeing in the market, showcase what they do, get your mortgage brokers that you work with, get them to come on and how you have these relationships. And like, having the ability to make all these other people look good, generate content that features them, cross promote on your accounts, like, all of those things are good for everybody, because if you're doing business, they're doing business. If they're doing business, you're doing business. And so how can you strengthen those relationships and really accentuate everybody and your network and your value for the customer? So those are like two easier things that people can accomplish based on what they've got. And usually when I'm working with a show, that's what I'll encourage them to do, one of those two things.
Wow, that's great. Everything, it sounds so in line with what I talk about, but you are specifically for the podcast. And it's great hearing another way to think about the networking. I believe in the one-on-one or networking events, because I go to a thousand of them, just like you. But this takes it from a whole different concept. How do you assist clients in crafting a compelling podcast message?
So it's a lot of conversation. I think the interesting thing is people don't realize how sharp and unique and pointed their opinions can be, because they just haven't had to present it in that format. But in the world that we live in, and this is the thing that I learned just doing radio for 10 years, because sports talk radio is you're going to have this sharp question or this sharp opinion. And it's this one or two sentence thing that you can say that gets everybody's attention. They understand exactly what you're talking about. And then you can go and discuss it. And by forcing people to answer these questions of, okay, why do you think this? And exploring deeper, you tend to uncover these opinions that you've always operated on, but you haven't fully expressed. And by being able to dig to those certain levels of things, it showcases the personality. It makes the episode stand out. It's all about depth versus breadth, if you will. Like, it's how specific and deep can you go with your expertise? And the more you can do that and start there at the beginning of your conversations, the more you're going to blow people away and separate yourself. So for me, for example, I talk about different things with production processes, or I did an episode that's going to be out soon about guest booking and what I've seen with different guest booking agencies. And for me to spend only 8-minute episode or something, it's not very long, but to spend 8-10 minutes going, hey, I see all these issues with the guest booking industry. If you're doing it, here's the things that you need to be worried about. And here's some specific things that I'm doing to counter all of this. There's really not episodes about that. Like, people aren't making that kind of content, but I've got that experience. It's relevant to my wheelhouse. It's relevant to my audience. And knowing that opinion allows me to differentiate myself. Those are the kinds of things that I have this natural sense of, aha, you've hit on like this good thing that we can dig into for a topic. But it's basically the more specific you can be about defining your opinion and boiling that down, like, why do you feel this? Why do you feel that? Almost 3-4 layers deep on a baseline opinion. That's when you know that something's really sharp, really good, really unique, and going to resonate.
I got to tell you, if any of my listeners are interested in becoming, in starting a podcast, I would just call Vince, because he's got the knowledge, he's got the experience, and I'm telling you everything. We're not done with the podcast by any means, but I'm just saying, with all of your experience and the way that you go about talking about the processes, the monetizing, the everything else, you do it in such a way where it always will benefit the podcast host. So I just want to thank you for that itself. And you talked about the processes. What key processes do you focus on to improve podcast production?
Yeah. So first off, it comes down to the show planning, because pre-planning is what's pre-production. What are you doing to plan these episodes out and make them as strong as they can possibly be? One of the biggest issues that people get into a lot of times is editing. And editing might involve taking out chunks of the conversation. That's because you might not have a full grip on how you wanted to structure that argument and cover the entirety of the episode, or developing the interviewing skills to get to a point where all of the conversation is totally on point and relevant and tight and consistent. So there's things in editing that post are because the preparation was not as good as it could be. The episodes are too long, things like that. So it starts there and with the messaging and things that we've talked about. And then beyond that, it's just a lot of regimenting, basically checklists of, okay, the episode is done. Who's responsible for what stages? Where is all of this going? And how are we doing this as efficiently as possible? So if that's with the editing, and this is a problem, I think, with a lot of solopreneurs, especially doing all of the editing and taking everything on. And when you think about the time consumed to do all of that versus your value as the business to go out and do other things, don't edit. Like, you don't need to do that. I understand at first, like, hey, I'm getting a feeling I don't want to invest in this, but by investing in an editor, you are reinvesting in yourself as an executive. And when you're considering that trade-off, it's an easy one to make. So it's things like that. So bringing in help if needed, or teaching people to just be more efficient if that's what they need. I do coaching sessions where I'll sit down and say, hey, you're doing the editing. Okay, let's talk about the tools that you use. Let's talk about some different technology that's out there that can streamline this for you. And how can I cut down the time that you're spending on that? So if you don't want to put that money out, how can I at least get you time back from being more efficient? And then from there, it's other things like, do you have a social media scheduler? So instead of doing things where natively you're posting it on each single platform, put it in one place and be able to have it go out to all the platforms you have. So that kind of stuff is really essential. And just really, and here's the last thing when it comes to production that's really huge. I want people, and I am desperately begging people to do this, is work ahead. Have 3-4 weeks of episodes that are ready to go. And don't worry about it. Like, the stress that people put on themselves arbitrarily to, oh my God, I got to get this out right now. Because if I don't edit it tonight, I'm skipping dinner because I'm going to edit tonight and I need it out tomorrow and I got to get the post. It drives people crazy. And it's a common stress that people have, but it's such an avoidable stress. So I really, at the very beginning, with all of those things in mind of pre and post and whatever, it's how can we do this in a way where we can get you breathing room to operate? So if you're sick, you go on vacation, your guests cancel, like whatever happens, you've got that room to maneuver and you're not stressing. So it's tying all of those things together and doing that as quickly as we can.
Absolutely. That's great. Vince, I'm telling you again, you've done it. You've done it. And I think you've got the podcasting, not exactly the coaching, but the instruction and the structure of the podcast down to such a point where any of my listeners, they'd be a fool not to contact you. Okay, so can podcasters leverage their shows for networking?
Oh my God, there's so many great ways to leverage it. But the biggest thing is there are guest platforms. And this is the easiest thing if you want an introductory way to get acclimated to podcasts and use them as a way to just build all these new connections. So a couple out there that are common and very affordable, Podmatch is one. There's another one called matchmaker.fm. Going to either of those, putting up a profile, people will message you to come on your show. You don't know who they are. They've got all these different skill sets and things, which is why sometimes you should say no, because everybody is applying to be on your show. So sometimes please say no to people. But beyond that, yeah, that just opens the door with really without even trying to all of these different people all across the world, all these industries that are looking for opportunity and looking for connection as well. So do that. But also, yeah, use it as an opportunity to reconnect with people. If you've had a past client, for example, and you did great things with them, and they don't need you anymore because things went so well that, like, they've progressed beyond you. Awesome. Bring them back on the show. Get them to give a testimonial, basically, about what you do. So it's an opportunity to reestablish connections. It's an opportunity to build new connections, because sometimes, Michael, this reaching out to somebody going, hey, can I get 30 minutes to talk and connect and just meet you? People sometimes are like, yeah, I'm not really into that. But if you tell them it's being recorded and put on Apple and Spotify, now they're way more interested. So it just gives you a natural avenue to build those connections. And as long as you've got the genuine interest in bringing these people on, which I can't state enough, please actually be engaged with who these people are and have real questions to ask them. But if you're doing that, yeah, the amount of impact that you can get is huge. So again, being on guest platforms and leaving the door open, you can also message people on those platforms to invite them on, inviting people in your network, whether it's a connection you want to tighten up because it's been a while or somebody you want to build a relationship with that's relevant. And then lastly, and I think this is really the biggest thing beyond that, is following up. I mentioned this earlier, but like, connect with them on LinkedIn if that's your thing. If you're big on Instagram, follow them on Instagram. Like, whatever you've got to do to maintain that connection and be aware of what they're up to, because everybody, it's give and take for everybody, right? I'm happy to come on the show, but what are you doing for me? Like, everybody, I want likes, I want subscribers, I want clients. So to have that opportunity to connect with people, like their stuff once in a while, comment on things, just be aware of what they're doing. So if you see them at a networking event, to go, hey, I saw that you posted this thing, or you just did that, congratulations. The show is your avenue to do that. It is a tool. And so that's the beauty of it. It doesn't have to just be this thing that gets listeners. It's a really good mechanic to interact with people. And so that's one of the ways to leverage this. And it's one of the best ways to do it. Because yeah, everybody wants to come on shows. You get this long running content. It's wonderful value.
It really is. And you touched on the follow-up, and I'm just going to touch on it a little bit, because I feel that the follow-up is almost more important than actually meeting the person. Okay. The follow-up is so key, because 90% of everybody else forget the follow-up. They send an email or they do something. There's no true sense of a follow-up. And unless you follow up, you really haven't gotten that contact. But that's a whole nother podcast on a whole nother day. What metrics do you use to measure a podcast success?
Yeah. So growth on the base level, right? It's overall growth based on what you're looking to do. Because again, like some people, it's an awareness play, right? Like my show to start, we're early stage with it. I started that show in October, and our play was awareness, because we're a niche business. We're a podcast company that helps business owners. Like, we're very niche. So with that, our thing was, let's blast all of our different social media channels and do that consistently. Let's post episodes every single week. Let's get the newsletter and use the content from the show to fuel the newsletter, get that out every single week. And we're seeing growth. I'm not blowing anything away, but I'm getting small growth on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, all at the same time. So that's my metric. Things like profile viewers on LinkedIn to me is a metric, because I've gotten people now on a professional platform to look at my profile and say, who is this guy and what is he about? And if that's not proof of attention, I don't know what is. So for me, those are the kinds of things that I'm looking for in this awareness play. Beyond that, it can be things like, obviously, sales, right? If you're bringing people onto the show, what is your conversion rate? And that's going to be something based on, and it's hard because you're not doing these things and people aren't getting into these conversations to directly sell. But if you can say that you're selling one or two high ticket items a year, even on your podcast, and you weren't selling anything before, to do that through your networking, like, that is a massive win. So it's always relative to the business and the kinds of services that they offer, the products they offer, and how that all works. Like, it can be very custom. But if you can definitively say that the podcast is helping you generate more business than you had before, and it's worth the investment, which if you're doing high ticket, it should be. And like, the way I do this, I'm not trying to price people out to a point where they can't afford to do the show, because it's their marketing. If they can, so it doesn't make sense to be like, this is an insane cost to execute your show day in and day out. Like, it needs to be something that's sustainable, but it's helping you sell high ticket as well. So if you can get a couple of sales in that degree, that's huge. So that's like the baseline element. Are you growing? Are you selling more? And that's about it.
It's true. And I get responses from LinkedIn, because I'm on all platforms. I'm LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And I get something back from LinkedIn. I thought it was great. I thought I get between 500 and 800 impressions every time that I put something out there. And I felt, oh, that's pretty good. One of my other podcast guests goes, well, what type of LinkedIn impressions do you get? And I said, oh, between 500 and 800. He goes, oh, that's not bad. When you get to 6,000, let me know. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, 6,000. As long as you, I'm like, all right. As long as I thought I was doing so well, and he just absolutely not. But anyway.
Hold on, because I disagree. I mean, right? It's all perspective and where you come from with this. If you were starting with 200, 300, or you weren't even posting regularly, and now you're posting more frequently and getting 500, 600, that is a win, right? That's the beauty of
it. It's a win.
Yeah,
But I was just like, okay, when you think you're doing something well, there's always somebody doing it better. But my metrics go from my YouTube channel all the way up to LinkedIn. and I'm getting a decent amount of hits. So it's not bad. It's pretty good. Give me an idea of what an emerging trend in the industry, in the podcasting industry.
Yeah. So the biggest one that I've seen recently, and this is from the way that I've been doing it, shows that I consume and people that I've had that I've been talking to that are guests on my show, is people are starting to trend back to solo episodes. And I think that is a great play, because when you're thinking about where everything's gone, the guest interview podcast has been big for a couple of years now. And for all the networking and everything that we've talked about, it makes sense. Like, that, there is real legitimate value in that, and it's something that people should still do. But the other side of it is, it's your platform for your marketing. And when you want to repurpose all of this content into great social clips that showcase you and your knowledge, and it can form your newsletter and all those different things, then yeah, take some weeks where it's just you talking. And if that's even 6 minutes, like, I literally have multiple 5-6 minute episodes in the early stages of my show. That's fine. Like, it's, are you making a good point? Is it value to your audience? Can you maximize that content? That's all it needs to be. If it turns out that you can go for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and it's a good conversation, go for it. But yeah, that idea of balance between doing the networking and building those relationships, and to some degree, sitting down with potential clients, leads, like, awesome. But yeah, have that other side where it's an opportunity for the audience to continue to get to know you more and what you're about, and become a bigger fan of you. Because when other people are constantly always dominating the platform, you don't always get that chance to showcase yourself. So that balance, it is huge. And yeah, I'm seeing that start to happen a lot more. I think part of it is because there's been, like, most shows out there are guest focused shows, and people have decided to make a transition there. So I fully support it.
That's really interesting. I was thinking about doing that because I'm posting twice a week, at on a Monday and a Friday, or Monday evening and a Friday afternoon. So maybe, like, on a Wednesday, I may do that, do a 5 or 6 minute post of just about my business, about my networking or my coaching or something else like that. But I think I may take you up on that offer, but that's very good information. All right, so here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. You've told me all about your great success, about how you transition from radio to podcasting. Everything is going so well, but what are some of the biggest mistakes that you've made, and how did you overcome it?
Oh my God. I used to have there. So I have one business partner at the moment. It's me and one other guy. There used to be three of us that ran the business together. That did not go well. And there are a lot of, it's a lot of layers to it. I could honestly talk about it for 4 hours, but the long story short is, I had known the person personally before the business got started. I considered them a friend. When things started to go really bad with the business, I refused to see what was falling off a cliff in a lot of different ways. I had these major blinders on, and being able to finally get to a point where I realized it's not working. And this whole thing is worse than I thought in a lot of different ways, personally, professionally. It was getting incredibly ugly, and making the decision to just completely cut the cord. So moving on, and just being me and the one other person now for the business, personally, just, maintaining separation, like, everything. And from there too, there was so much clutter around the business. So strategically, the things that we were doing, it was more, we were just doing digital content in a lot of different ways, shapes, and forms versus being a podcast production company for businesses. What I had to do was, once we made that move, is the last, like, year plus was really just trimming fat. Just, hey, is this producing podcasts for businesses? No. Is this leading to doing that and getting more clients or relationships? No. Let's kill that. Let's transition out this client. So it was a lot of movement and redefinition, but it was also simplicity. And so it's been a relief, just the way things have gone really in the past, year and a half, something like that. It's been night and day. And it's unfortunate you have to go through a lot of things to get there, but the end result has been great. And I have no regrets.
Good. Listen, I've been a business owner before, multiple business, pizzerias, restaurants, a Ben & Jerry's franchise. I've been through it all. I want to end this on a very high note. So can you give me a success story where you helped a podcast business grow?
Yeah. So this one's interesting, right? It's a bit of an altruistic show. It's called Building the Open Metaverse. And it's two technology execs in metaverse technology, like, high-ranking guys. And they are all about community building because everything they're doing is open source. So it's the idea that this software is out on the internet and everybody has the ability to collaborate on it and customize it and add to it. And it's just as a community tool, it always gets better and better. Things like Notion, for example, it's a digital workspace and you can do a lot of file tracking and things in it. It's a beautiful tool that is open source. So there's a lot of things like that out there. DeepSeek, the popular AI tool that came out, that is an open source tool as it's been defined. So things like that. What I was able to do with them, just one, show quality. Their audio and all was really bad. They had listeners complaining about the quality of the audio on the show, like on their YouTube channel. Comments would be like, this sounds terrible. This is not good. Just improving their overall process, making the show better, more concise, working on things where their marketing person, so their head of marketing, was managing this show. They're not a podcaster. That is not their main goal. I was able to get her, she told me, literally 20 hours a week back into her life because we took that show back on. So for us to manage that whole show, and that was a ton of work. You're talking audio, video, the enhanced edits to trim the fat, thumbnail, transcripts, fully edited, everything, posting clips. So we took all of that off, relieved the marketing side of it. And it's at a stage now where that company was actually purchased. They were bought in the last 6 months, I want to say. And the marketing contact that we had is temporarily retired. She's chilling. She's living her life. They made so much on the sale that she's good, is my understanding of it. So yeah, I helped her put time back in the business and now she's living the life. So that's the kind of wins that you can get.
That's great, Vince. That's great. Such an uplifting story about everybody and everybody concerned did so well. So that, thank you for that story. It was very uplifting. Vince, if somebody wanted to get hold of you, either to be coached, to have their podcast taken over by you, or even help with it, how can they get hold of you?
Yeah, so go to sbxproductions.com. So think sandbox, but we sucked all the letters out of it. sbxproductions.com. That's where you can set up a call with me. And yeah, happy to figure out just what your needs are up front, totally free of charge, whether you're launching a show or have an existing show, and we'll take it from there.
Absolutely fantastic. Vince, thank you very much for coming on the show. You were a great guest.
Michael, thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
You're welcome. Well, hold on, folks. Don't go anywhere. Let me just read a few of our sponsors that we have. Struggling to reach success? Maybe it's time to quit. In Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, this reveals 27 steps to breaking bad habits that hold you back. This powerful book helps you rewire your mindset, take control of your actions, and turn setbacks into stepping stones. With real-life examples, motivational quotes, and actionable lessons, especially for sales professionals. You'll gain the tools to quit, what's stopping you, and start winning. Transform your future today. So Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, available now on Amazon. And this is a nonprofit called Revved Up Kids. This is something I believe in wholeheartedly. Revved Up Kids is on a mission to protect children and teens from sexual abuse, exploitation, and trafficking. They provide prevention training programs for children, teens, and adults. To learn more, go to revvedupkids.org. That's REVVEDUPKIDS.org. Well, that's a wrap, folks. A huge thank you to our special guest for sharing such incredible insights today. And of course, a big shout out to you, our amazing listeners, for tuning in and spending your time with us. Remember, networking isn't about being perfect. It's about being present. So take what you've learned today, get out there, and make some meaningful connections. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who could use a little networking inspiration. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or my website, michaelaforman.com. Remember, until next time, keep practicing, keep connecting, and keep building those relationships. This is Michael A. Forman signing off. Take care and happy networking.